Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank goodness it's folk. Sheffield Live's weekly folk programme, broadcasting to the world. With Sam Hindley and James Fagan. Every Friday at 10 a.m. Welcome back to Thank Goodness It's Folk with James Fagan and Sam Hindley, in conversation with Matthew Bannister, our special guest today. And we're talking about the early days of his fabulous podcast on folk music, Folk on Foot. Let's go back to Sam Hindley.
The programme started in 2018. How did it evolve in its first few series, do you think?
Well, the first thing, obviously, that mattered to me was whether there was an audience for it. So, I thought, you know, there's no point me wandering about the country making beautiful recordings of folk musicians and talking to them about their lives if nobody's going to come and listen to it. But fortunately, people did come and listen to it and started to applaud it, and we started to win awards for it, you know. And I have to say, from the start, we invested heavily in the production, so getting good quality recording and then allowing space and time for the amazing producers who I work with to put it together in a way that is really evocative. And the Daily Telegraph described it in a review as a restorative breathing space in sound, and I loved that. We've kind of emblazoned that as our motto, you know, because it's a place that people can come to find, you know, what's wonderful about folk musicians is they're often very modest people, they're often very thoughtful people, they're often very intelligent people, and you hear some really fascinating conversation, the music is beautiful, and then the natural world intervenes. So you, when we were walking with Corinne, she was singing The Lark in the Clear Air on Fallamore, and a load of skylarks started singing in the background as if we'd actually staged them to be there, and that was wonderful. And we also encountered a curlew, and the curlew interrupted our conversation. You could hear the song of the curlew in the background. So we began to become quite sophisticated at recording the sounds of nature, the sounds of the footsteps, the sounds of the rivers burbling past, the sounds of the wind blowing through the trees, and so on. So we wanted to make a sound rich experience. And I suppose no better example of that than the episode we did with Sam Lee. He does a thing called Singing with Nightingales. I don't know if you know it, but you can go, and I've been three times now, and I want to go back again. It's an intensely spiritual experience. You can go to Kent or Sussex in April or May, when the nightingales have come back from Africa, and you join Sam and about 15 or 20 other people at dusk, and then he has an ornithologist with him usually who takes you on a walk and points out the dusk chorus of all the different birds that are singing. And then you sit by the campfire and they give you wonderful vegetarian food, and Sam starts to tell stories and sing songs about the nightingale. And as it gets darker and darker, your eyes get more accustomed to the gloom. And then about 11:30 at night, he says, right, it's time to set off. And you set off on this silent walk with no light. So you're not allowed to talk and you have no light. And you're going through the woods and you have to carefully sense what the person in front of you is doing in order not to lose your footing. But then out of the silence, you start to hear the voice of the nightingale singing. And the nightingales sing at night because they're focused on sex. They're basically trying to call down their female mates who are coming from Africa as well. And the ones with the loudest song and the ones that keep going longest get the best mates. And they sing at night because no other birds are singing, so they can be heard. And they're so focused on this mission that they don't mind if 15 or 20 of you in silence gather around the bush where they're singing and sit down in the pitch black. And then Sam starts to sing with the nightingale. And he often has a guest musician. So we had a violin player there who was playing Bach partitas with the nightingale. And I swear that the nightingale responds. And as I was doing that for the first time, I thought, we should record this. We should come back and we should do an episode of Folk on Foot. And of course, we did do an episode of Folk on Foot. So I chose a Sam Lee track, which is from his album Old Wow, because Sam's a very inspiring person, and that experience inspired Folk on Foot.
Well, this is The Moon Shines Bright.
The moon shines bright, and the stars give a light. In a little while it will be day. The voice of love, it calls upon us all and bids us awake and pray. Arise, arise, away thee rise, for life she is calling thee. For it might be the mothering of your sweet soul if you open your eyes and see that the life of a man, it comes with little plan, it flourishes like a flower, as tender in the heart into which you're born, so cherish your every hour. Away thee arise, and evermore watchful be.
That was Sam Lee with The Moon Shines Bright, the choice of our Kelham Island Discs guest today, Matthew Bannister. Matthew, something when you were talking so passionately about your experience of going on the walk with Sam makes me want to ask you about the personal side of this Folk on Foot journey for you, because you're a very accomplished broadcaster. You present very well. You are good at telling a story. You've always been good at looking at how things work and the numbers of things and how to get music out to the masses. You're very aware of the industry and of the necessary commercial side to music. But it strikes me that the world of folk music that you have immersed yourself in and the musicians that you have spoken to in some ways occupy quite a different milieu to all of that world that you've been in. So, yes, you understand how to broadcast it, you understand how to make it something that you hope has an audience. But what about the personal thing for you? Because you have been now on so many walks with some deeply inspiring human beings. I wonder how it's changed you.
Well, it's my happy place. You know, this is my happy place. And I mean, I've said it's my perfect job. You know, after all these years in broadcasting, I've finally created my perfect job. But in a way, it's not a job. You know, it's not a job because it allows me, the first thing it allows me to do is to immerse myself in nature, you know, which I love. You know, I've had a house in West Sussex in the countryside for 35 years. Years now, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to get out and walk, you know, a lot in the countryside near in the South Downs and so on. But this has taken me to some spectacular locations, you know, like going up to the very northernmost tip of Britain with Duncan Chisholm to Sandwood Bay, which is a wonderful white sand beach 4 miles from the nearest road. So you have to walk across the countryside to get to it. And when you get there, there's nobody else there. And there's nothing between you and America, basically. And the waves are rolling in. And then Duncan Chisholm gets out his fiddle and plays to you, because he was inspired to write a whole album about this place. And so for me, each recording is a memorable, spiritually uplifting experience. It really is. I don't think we've had any bad experiences in the 7 years that we've been doing it. And I have met some remarkable people, you know, remarkable people for their insights, not just into music, but into the world, into life. So yes, I mean, it has changed my consciousness, I think. It certainly opened my eyes and ears to different parts of nature that I wouldn't have otherwise seen or heard. And it's opened my ears to loads and loads of music that I wouldn't otherwise have seen or heard. Because, of course, I started off by doing my favourites. But now we're doing, you know, lots of people are knocking on the door and wanting to come to us. And people are offering us their music as an experience. And so it's introducing me to loads and loads of new music, as it does our listeners, that we wouldn't otherwise have heard. And it gives us so much insight. It's a wonderful experience.
The track you've picked next is an extraordinary one, and it combines Martin Simpson's keen interest in nature as well with his friendship with Chris Packham, and something that is clear in the work that you do is that people like Chris and Martin and other people that you've met preserving the natural world and fighting for, you know, the rights of, say, birds, which people don't normally think of as when you talk about rights and you think about the problems the world is facing. It's very easy to forget that the world itself needs to be looked after. And there are some very vocal people, and Chris Packham is one of the best. Tell us about this track, but also about the Folk on Foot episode that it's to do with.
Well, I heard that Chris Packham had commissioned Martin to write a song called Sky Dancers about the hen harrier and the fact that hen harriers are in danger and that their species are being depleted. And therefore I knew there was a relationship between Martin, who I know is passionate about the natural world, and Chris. And so I said to both of them, wouldn't it be wonderful for you to go for a walk together and record it as an episode of Folk on Foot? And they were absolutely delighted to do that, because they're both huge fans of each other. So, you know, it was for Chris, It was like, oh, Martin Simpson's coming to play in my part of the New Forest. This is so exciting. And for Martin Simpson, it was like, Chris Packham's going to show us his part of the New Forest. This is so exciting. So they both got really excited about it. And the walk was beautiful because Chris is such an engaging and inspiring guide to this area of the New Forest that he feels really passionate about. That it's near his home, and it's a woodland, and it's got an ancient history. And they used to cut down the oak trees there to make our ships in Nelson's day. And so it's this extraordinary landscape. And so he was showing us that, and Martin was playing his songs about the natural world. And Chris fetched up at this tree, and he said, "This is the tree where I want my ashes scattered when I die. And I want them to be with the ashes of my dogs, Itchy and Scratchy, who've died, unfortunately. So I've got those already saved. And we want to be scattered here. And then we'll go into the tree. And then we'll come out through the branches of the tree and the leaves. And then a caterpillar will eat our leaves. And then that will feed something else. And we will be part of the great chain of nature."
Yeah.
And it was such a wonderful image. And Martin said, "Well, I'm going to sit underneath this tree and play Ridgeway."
Mm.
And Chris was just, he's open-mouthed as Martin sat there and played this beautiful song under this tree that means so much to him.
"The sun warms my bones and the lazy air rises, lifts red kite and buzzard in effortless spirals. I have missed the kite, the whistling gleaner, just as I miss the wolf and the bear. And I remember before you were there. I woke up from my long sleep, shivered from my cold dreams, made myself a warm coat, a coat of richest green, a coat of oak and ash and elm, beech and lime and alder, all the trees of England and the finest ever seen. He worshipped in his rings of stone, he clawed and dug his hills of soil, he cut my coat with my own bones, turned to metal in his fires. His children wonder at his toil, I find little to admire. First he cut for shelter, then he cut to clear for cattle, then he cut for the smelter, and he always cut to burn. Cut the oaks for battleships, cut poplar for his rifles, cut and kept on cutting as if he'd never learn. The sheep graze, my coat is gone, there's a path along my bare back. Feet have worn away my skin to make the ridgeway track. Sun warms my bones and the lazy air rises, lifts red kite and buzzard in effortless spirals. I have missed the kite, the whistling gleaner, just as I miss the wolf and the bear. And I remember before you were.
Local Sheffield man Martin Simpson there with Ridgeway, the next choice of our guest today, Matthew Bannister. Matthew, just before we head on to the our final track of this section, and talk about the next episode of Folk Up What that's coming up. I want to talk to you about something else you've been doing closely with Volo's Quartet. That is the Song Detectorist. Tell us about where you got that idea and tell us about it.
Well, I got it from somebody called Nancy Kerr, who I think you might know. Nancy, as I'm sure your listeners know, is not just an amazing musician and songwriter and researcher, but she's also an academic working at Newcastle University, and she's involved in a project called Music Heritage Place. And she told me about this, and what it involves is researchers up and down England going into county records offices to find old music books from the 17th, 18th and 19th century, and music that hasn't been heard or performed, perhaps for hundreds of years, and then bringing it back to life through a performance from the Melrose Quartet, including James here. And I thought, along with my producer, Natalie Steed, that this was a great idea for a radio programme. And so we approached Radio 3 and asked them if they would commission it, which they did, and so we've had two series of the Song Detectorists featuring the Melrose Quartet, bringing to life these amazing pieces of music in very different styles and different genres from county record offices in many different places in England. And what a joy that has been, not just to go into the county record offices and handle the manuscripts, which they let me do amazingly, but to come to the studio, Yellow Arch Studio in Sheffield, and hear the Melrose Quartet then sing them was absolutely wonderful.
It was a lovely tie-in with your program, Matthew, a natural fit, because your show already involves exploring places that you haven't necessarily been. It involves going in. And so we'd heard a lot of soundscapes on Folk on Foot of birds and of rivers, but it was lovely to hear soundscapes of old church doors being opened and historians talking so passionately about things which, you know, may seem quite dry and dusty subject matter to your average listener. But again, you managed to bring some of those soundscapes really to life. You must have been very interested in that as a different process.
Well, what we're interested in always is a sense of place. So it was about going to places that are not on the main track for researchers. You know, researchers tend to go to the British Museum or the British Library or Oxford or Cambridge or somewhere like that. But we went to Lincoln and to over to Shrewsbury and to Bedford. And, you know, we went to places that don't normally get put under the spotlight, but where there is an equally rich musical tradition and equally rich stories to be told, thanks to the collaboration that we had with Nancy and the team on Music Heritage Place.
Well, the grey-eyed moon and the frowning nights are like two dancers reeling across the sky of dark and light. The sun and moon go wheeling. Night till morn, let's raise a glass or brain or something stronger. Day may come at last, but tonight I'll be a songster.
Matthew, something I would like to publicly acknowledge is your contribution to us as musicians, especially during lockdown. And one of the things that Folk on Foot did, and your listeners as well, was you supported artists at a time when there was a massive amount of uncertainty about whether our profession was tenable, was something that would help get us through, literally pay the bills, the food bills, the heating. And you and Folk on Foot, long before it became almost ubiquitous that people would broadcast live concerts, you put on a couple of festivals which raised hundreds of thousands of pounds through the generosity of your listeners and through your own hard work. And it was just an incredible gesture from everybody, but you led that, and we will never not be grateful for what you and your team did. It was incredible. And then you also contributed on a long personal almost pilgrimage, which you needed a couple of good pairs of shoes for, when you donated yet more money through a charitable walk that you did, which was also documented beautifully, in which you raised money for Help for Musicians. Would you like to comment on what has driven you to do all of that, apart from the love you have for these musicians and for the music they produce?
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, I wanted to give something back. Music is, I've said this many times, but it's still true. To me, music is like eating or breathing. You know, life is not worth living without it. In fact, it's insupportable without the idea of music. And the people who make folk music in particular are not rich. They're not wealthy. They're not, you know, living high on in Los Angeles in a, you know, a huge mansion. You know, they're living working lives, and they do it because they're passionate about the music that they make. And therefore, when I saw the musicians were in real trouble during lockdown, and the you know, basically their income was whipped away at the stroke of a government pen, you know, with the lockdown, I thought, well, we'd better try and do something. I had no idea how to put on something on YouTube and make a festival out of it. And we called it the Front Room Festival, and we asked the musicians to film themselves, as you know, in their front rooms. And of course, many of the musicians had no idea how to film themselves and put their phones the wrong way up and things like that. But there was a fantastic intimacy about it. And we moved very quickly. So it happened on the first Easter Monday after lockdown had happened in March. And that meant that, you know, the space was still clear and people were bewildered. You know, the listeners were bewildered. The listeners were lonely. And people around the world came to that event that we created, 9 hours of music, people filming in their own front rooms. And I was contacted by a fundraising expert as soon as I put the fundraising live. And he said, you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. You should start like this. You need to have raised a bit of money already. By the time he'd finished the call, we'd raised £10,000 from our audience. And by the time that first festival had finished, we raised £110,000. And half of it was split between the musicians who took part in it, and half of it was split with Help Musicians, the charity, that were giving out emergency funding to help musicians who couldn't pay their rent. And then we did three more. And we, in the end, raised £327,000, which says something about the love that there is for musicians from our listeners.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we care passionately about the musicians who make the music, and we wanted to support them.
And we are very grateful, Matthew. Sam, we've got one song to come, and it's very close to home in some ways because it relates to Matthew's history with Sheffield and the area, his love of Christmas, and perhaps you could lead us towards that now.
You've developed this pattern, Matthew, of over the last few years of doing Christmas episodes. In fact, I think the first one you did was very local to here, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We did the Sheffield Carols. And we went in search of the Sheffield Carols, which, as everybody listening to this will know, happened in the pubs in North Derbyshire and Sheffield in November and December. And we were joined by John Bowden and Bella Hardy and the Melrose Quartet, of course, to sing some Sheffield Carols. And that went down a storm. And I love Christmas. And I realised that there are different Christmas traditions in different parts of these islands. And so we went to Wales to do the Plygain tradition, which is a Welsh language carol tradition, which happens in mid-Wales, and where people turn up with their tattered books that have been handed down through families, and they perform, and anyone can stand up and sing. And so on the night that we went, I think we recorded 32 different carols in the service. And the only rule is that that everyone gets up and sings a carol. And then when everybody who wants to sing has finished, then the congregation sings a carol. And then the same people who came at the beginning come back again, and they're not allowed to repeat a carol, and they have to go in the same order that they sang in the first place. So we had the Welsh carols. We've been to Wexford for the Wexford carols, which are another extraordinary tradition in Southern Ireland. And this year, we've been to Marsden in West Yorkshire to record with O'Hoolian Tido and Katie Spencer and Maddie Morris. And you can't ask for a better bill than that.
You can't.
And we're calling it Winterfolk in West Yorkshire. We did actually record it last Christmas because we wanted to get into the Christmas spirit perfectly. And we recorded it at what's known as the Cathedral of the Colne Valley, which is St. Bartholomew's Church in Marsden, where O'Hoolian Tido do this legendary Christmas homecoming gig, where about 800 people cram into the church. And the church had Christmas trees all the way down, different Christmas trees. So there was a Christmas tree festival, including a crocheted Christmas tree all the way down the sides. They had beautiful lighting. They had a string section. And Everyone joined in with Silent Night. And I tell you, this heartwarming episode, which comes out on Monday the 15th of December, is so wonderful. We went for a walk with Katie Spencer. She plays Silent Night unaccompanied on the guitar beautifully. Maddie Morris drops in on their way to appear at a Lefty Christmas gig with Grace Petrie, but sings as a song about LGBTQ people feeling perhaps a bit lonely at Christmas. So it's a really atmospheric episode, and it's out next week.
Congratulations on it. Congratulations on the continued success of Folk on Foot. And Matthew, we're not finished with you yet, because we're going to talk about some of the amazing records that you and Sam have been involved in looking at for this year's newly created award for Folk Album of the Year. And I'll get you to talk about that a bit more in a minute. But in the meantime, let's round off this section with a winter folk carol from O'Hooley and Tiddo, the last choice of our guest today, Matthew Bannister.
Once I was a frozen child, wrapped my little heart in snow. Now near 40 winters old, still searching for a hand to hold. Winter folk, summers will unfold. May there always be a hand to hold. Migrating, displaced from home, unsettled within our souls, but bank, debt or bed, I need to feed or to be fed. Winter folk, summers will unfold. May there always be a hand to hold. In the winter of the hours, in the winter of your day, the stranger lights a candle and welcomes you to stay. Winter folk, summers will unfold. May there always be a hand to hold. May all your Christmases be real, and know that it's okay to feel. Family could be one good friend, and no one having to pretend. Winter folk, summers will unfold. May there always be hand to hold. Winter folk, summers will unfold. There will always be a hand to hold.
O'Hooley and Tiddo with Winter Folk Carol, the last choice of Matthew Bannister, our guest today on Kelham Island Discs. And we're getting our value out of Matthew today, because as well as Matthew's Kelham Island Discs and that fascinating history history of what Matthew's been involved in since his birth and upbringing here in Sheffield and his career in radio, he is now involved in a new Folk Album of the Year award. Sam, you're involved as well, aren't you?
I am indeed, and it's been a real privilege to be involved in the judging panel of the first Folk Album of the Year. Matthew, tell us about this, because you, I think you came up with the idea, didn't you?
Yes, and I wanted to do something just to showcase the fact that we're going through an amazing period of creativity in the folk world of Britain and Ireland. You know, I'm aware of it because people knock on my door and send me emails and CDs and MP3s and all sorts of things, that there is so much great work going on. And I thought, wouldn't it be good to have an award a bit modelled on the Mercury Music Prize, where it's as much important to be nominated as it is to win. So we've announced 9 nominated albums, but it must have been so difficult for you, the judges, because you had to get it down from 146 to 9.
There was lots to choose from the list that we were all given, and yeah, it's been a really fun process there.
Can I just ask you, Matthew, very quickly before you give us a taster of each of the 9 nominees in the award, what you think the importance or otherwise of an award structure at all in folk music is?
It's about drawing attention to the range and quality of what's out there. And, you know, some people say, oh, it's not a competitive process and you shouldn't really, you know, make this into a competition. But you can't hide the fact that awards get excitement and discussion and debate, you know. And if people want to disagree with the nominated albums, that's fine, you know, because it causes a discussion and a debate about folk music. And that's what I hope that this process will do. And there's going to be a massive event in March where we hope as many of these nominated albums artists will perform live at Rochdale Town Hall, and we'll live stream it. And that's going to be a really high profile event.
It's going to be great. And I think you're right, Matthew. I mean, without going into too much detail, the final discussion really was a great debate, wasn't it? Really was.
It was fascinating to listen to. I mean, I didn't have a vote myself, but just listening to the different points of view expressed and the passion with which the judges held them. 12 amazing judges from all sorts of different backgrounds, musicians, producers, broadcasters, journalists. You know, it was really fascinating to hear.
One of the nice things sitting on the sidelines watching was that when some of the nominees in the final 9 were announced, a lot of people said, I've never heard of them. And a lot of people said, quite rightly, that's exactly the point. And yes. I think that is so important for people to understand. There's no point in the folk world just patting the old guard on the back continually and saying, let's just hear some more of that. Otherwise, it is not a living tradition. And this is crucial.
We're going to hear excerpts from small excerpts from all the nominees now. So let's start by looking at Barry Kerr. This is his album When Curlews Cry.
Yeah, The Curlews Cry, and he is a Northern Irish musician, was brought up on the shores of Loch Ney, which is undergoing some problems with pollution at the moment, and he's passionate about the natural world, and he writes songs which he says he's very pleased when people say that song sounds like it's part of the tradition, or it sounds like it's going back in time. And this is a beautiful song about his concern for the loch where he grew up.
Fowl have left us, they haven't come this year. No midnight swans are calling, those lovers lost, I fear. No plover is a nesting, the bog has gone to plough. The crying of a curlew is but a memory now. No long line set at evening in my cot with salmon sky. No trout are real for mourning me. The catch it has run dry.
Matthew, it's lovely to see a Welsh artist nominated in here. Tell us about the next act, Cynefin.
Cynefin is the stage name of Owen Shires, who is not just a musician, but also grows his own oats by the way. He's trying to bring back heritage oat growing in Wales. And this album is called Shimley, and it's a wonderful collection of songs which reflect the heritage and culture of Wales and the Welsh language. And I thought we might play a little extract from a May Carol, which he's recorded. I'm not going to do the Welsh pronunciation because it might be upsetting to anybody who speaks Welsh, but it translates roughly as "The Heavens Are Greening," and it's a traditional carol, and it starts by featuring the MacIntyre Town Band.
For the next one, Matthew, we're going to Africa, but this is Edith Wiatonga, and she lives in the UK, doesn't she?
Yes, she's a leading Zimbabwean-born musician, but has lived in the UK now for more than 6 years and is making her music here. And this album was inspired by the sad death of her grandmother during lockdown, and Edith was unable to be with her grandmother, who was a huge influence in her life during lockdown. And in lockdown, she'd had a kind of writer's block about writing music. But then her sister shared with her an audio recording of her grandmother's voice. And she was so moved by this that she had to write a song, and she wrote the song called Amazulu, and then the floodgates opened, and she was able to write again and wrote the rich tapestry of music that is on this album, which is called Vari Passi.
Simura gandirera ntimboya Muti wakandirera ntiambuya vangu Hari yakandibika yakandirera ntiambuya vangu Amasulu Hari andokupusika Amazulu Ambuya ka ndinotenda Ambuya ka ndinotenda Ambuya ka ndinotenda Vakakupa
Matthew, it won't surprise anybody to see Gig Spanner Big Band in this list. They are prolific and they bring so many different aspects of music. They're a fascinating band, aren't they?
They really are. And obviously, improvisation is at the heart of what they do. This is Peter Knight's absolute joy is in improvisation. But it's a big band, you know, as we know, with Philip Henry and Hannah Martin from Edgelarks, with John Spires, who people will know from Bellowhead, with Peter Knight and the Gig Spanner Trio. And this album, it was interesting that they told me about the recording process for this album, which involved recording all their gigs in multitrack. So they record all their gigs in multitrack, and then they select the best sound. So you're getting performances that have taken place in front of an audience with that connection. And also, as John Spires says, they get better and better at playing as they go on. And a lot of the tracks you hear on the album came from their final gigs towards the end of the tour as they're really played in. But Fortune Turns Her Wheel was a great example of the improvisation. They couldn't quite get it right when they were rehearsing. And Peter just said to Hannah Martin, "You sing this and we will follow." And that's what they did. And that's what you hear is an improvised track.
Matthew, we head to Scotland now, and Grace Stewart Skinner, tell us about this album.
She's a young Clarsach or Scottish harp player whose family come from a tiny village called Och. It's spelled A-V-O-C-H, but pronounced Och, in the Black Isle in the north of Scotland. And in that village, they speak the Scots dialect, which is unusual because the village is surrounded by Gaelic speakers, but there they speak this Scots dialect, and it's a fishing village, and so fishing heritage is very important. And Grace thought that this dialect was dying out, so she went to record it. She recorded the older speakers of the dialect, but she also found a recording of her grandfather, her late grandfather, reading a poem in this dialect, and that's where it all began. So she took these recordings and added music to them to create an incredibly evocative album. And the track that I was hoping you might play, and I'm going to try and pronounce it, is "The Heron Must Have Taken Fricht," which is her grandfather speaking. This is her grandfather's poem and Grace playing.
It is September Eve in Och, and you're going to hear the men at Och. It's Keswick time, the fishers driving, the boats will soon be coming in. The appearance here is grand to see, the soulman's diving in the sea. They're up and down hour of the firth, the yawls are steaming for a berth. The meter's on, their black is tan. I bet you this is where they are. If that's our hiding, there's no doubt the time that we was pitching out. We're sheeting now, the mark's dark brown. Somebody yells, the bows can doon. We eyes on, we all are up. I think we have plenty with this cup. We're hauling up now, bit by bit. There is a cram in it. They're sharp and fine, they blow the horn. We'll get them on as quick as we can. 10 minutes will haul, the skipper yells, "That's on our boys." And Summing calls, "The code is in our eye, and there it's time that you was a day. Call up some boat as quick as you can. Ain't steaming there, that's Sandy Vaughan. He must have heard, he's flashing now. Stand by, boys, to lose the bell. He's coming to you and tell the crew the kind of fishing gear know. That's fine, they say, we'll tackle them last time to a skin of war. We're steaming up at quite a speed. The tides we is, that's what we need. The nets are up, the derrick D, a larry waiting at the quay. We have them out within an hour. Luck's who is the night for sure. There's no other boat in sight. The heron must have taken fricht."
I think Joshua Burnside is an Irish singer-songwriter, and I certainly have been hearing a lot about him. I know a lot of my friends who aren't necessarily that up on folk would include him now in their listenership. He's a remarkable artist, isn't he?
Yes, he is indeed. And this album was recorded in a former office block in Belfast, where Joshua doesn't mind. He said, you know, that the sounds of the outside world bleed in to the recording, and you might hear a bus going past or things like that. And he uses found sounds in his recording to mix in and out to create an atmosphere. So he's taking folk music in its broadest sense and taking it in new directions. He was inspired to write this album by the experience of becoming a dad. So the songs were all written either side of the experience of his son being born. So you get the kind of fear beforehand, the apprehension, the moment of birth, and then the sleeplessness and the tiredness afterwards. And it spins off into all the issues that a new parent thinks about. This track that we've chosen is called Marching Around the Ladies. It's based on a traditional children's song from Belfast, but Joshua's updated the lyrics.
March around the ladies, march around the shore, march around the ladies as you've done before. In and out of windows, in and out the door, in and out of windows as you've done before. Stand and face your lover, stand and face the shore, stand and face your lover as you've done before. Whisper in the garden, whisper on the road, whisper in the garden where the elderberry grows.
Well, I think this next artist really, really needs no introduction, but we are delighted that she's nominated. It's Peggy Seeger, a wonderful album, Teleology.
Yeah, and what was interesting about this for me was that I did an interview for Folk on Foot with Peggy and her son Callum, who produced the album. And Callum said, it's not very often that you hear music made from the perspective of a 90-year-old. And it's absolutely true, isn't it? And so this album comes as Peggy is marking seven decades of music making, and it captures her mood and her spirit at this time in her life as she's reaching this maturity. And it is her final album. It's going to be her last album. But the range of songs show that she has not lost her fight, and she still wants us to stand up. No, hold on, not to stand up and protest, to sit down and protest, as this song has it.
When the system leaves you out in the cold,
sit down, sit down.
When you've lost your job and your life's on hold,
sit down, sit down.
When your pension's gone and your benefits cut,
sit down, sit down.
And the bankers tell you they're hard up,
sit down, sit down. Sit down, just take a seat. Sit down and rest your feet. Sit down on the concrete. Sit down, sit down.
When the rich get richer and the poor stay poor,
sit down, sit down.
When there's always cash for another war,
sit down, sit down.
When the NHS is up for sale,
sit down, sit down.
And the government spouting fairy tales,
sit down, sit down. Sit down, just take a seat. Sit down and rest your feet. Sit down on the concrete. Sit down, sit down.
When public services get the act.
Well, we've got two more nominations in this year's folk inaugural Folk Album of the Year Award, which is the brainchild of our guest, Matthew Bannister. And he's been very, very helpful with us on today's program, talking us through these albums in quick time. We know we're only playing a little bit of each track, but you can go and buy the records and find out more about them. And that is the idea behind it, isn't
and,
it, Sam?
Yeah, it is indeed. But also, Matthew would, I'm sure, would like to tell you that there are some special episodes on Folk on Foot where they take a deep dive into the albums, and they're doing that right now.
We are indeed, yeah. And could I just mention our partners in this, because I don't want to claim all the credit for it, because we are also doing this with an organisation called Sound Roots, whose mission is to expose folk music to the widest possible audience. And they've been incredibly instrumental in making this happen, in running the logistics, and they will obviously have a huge part to play in staging that final event in Rochdale. So I want to say thank you to them.
Fantastic. And we add our thanks too. Thank you, Matthew. Well, a perfect example of getting new music out to people who might not hear it is this one, because I was not aware of this act, Poor Creature. What can you tell us about this band or artist?
So Poor Creature are a trio, and they're part of this incredibly vibrant scene that is happening in Ireland at the moment. two of them are in Lancombe, and one of them is in Landless, bands which I think you might have heard of. And they came together.
Very much so, yes.
Cormac and Ruth are married. So she's in Landless and he's in Lancombe, and John is Cormac's brother. So Cormac and Ruth live together. So in lockdown, they started experimenting with electronic instruments and traditional music. And then once the lockdown lifted, they added John. And their first gig together as a trio was a benefit gig for a greyhound, which needed a new knee. And John hadn't even rehearsed with them, but they came together. But they'd got this extraordinary electronic soundscape, and the way they treat not just traditional songs, but also songs from the country and Irish tradition as well, that's very big in the area where they live. And they, one of the instruments they use is a 1970s synthesizer called an organetta, a Hofner organetta. And this track, Bury Me Not, starts with that sound, which is very distinctive and permeates through the album.
Well, we're just coming now towards the end of our 2 hours, and I wish we had another two. It's been absolutely lovely talking to you, Matthew. There's so much more we could talk about, but it's out there for people to listen to, both on your own wonderful podcast, Folk on Foot, which shows no sign of slowing down whatsoever, and we long may it continue. Enjoy those walks, enjoy the natural world, and enjoy those beautiful relationships you're forging with musicians across the country, and helping as well. Your helper has been mentioned already on this program, but it's greatly appreciated, the work that you do for musicians and your team as well. And a big prop to Natalie Steed as well, and her involvement in Folk on Foot. She's an extraordinary producer and an extraordinary visionary, and I'm sure you would agree. It's been
absolutely
lovely. Yeah, it's been lovely talking to you. It's been lovely talking to a Sheffield lad from our base here in Sheffield, and we look forward to the next time you grace us with your presence for a carol, a mince pie, and possibly a pint at one of the many places we can do that. Have a great Christmas and a happy New Year. We still have one track left, though, for the album of the year, but it's goodbye from me for now, Matthew.
Again, all I can say is thank you very much, Matthew. It's been great to talk to you, and hopefully see you again soon. Have a great Christmas. Let's talk about Spafford Campbell.
We will. Thank you to both of you for having me on the show. It's just been a real joy. And Spafford Campbell are a wonderful duo on which to end. Owen Spafford, fiddle player, Louis Campbell, guitarist, and they have made this album of largely instrumental music, which sort of could be described as contemporary chamber music, I suppose. It's the combination of the incredibly subtle fiddle playing by Owen and, you know, really beautiful guitar playing, both electric and acoustic, from Louis. So this is an example of a wonderful, wonderful partnership. It's called Look Up.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.